This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop. Because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zada's. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. Jeremy, we're Jeremy and Joe. Brian behind the glass. And the band is back together on a Wednesday. How are things? Things are good?
Things are good.
Things are good. Brian, things are good? What happened?
Yeah, I got left out today. I got left out.
You got left out?
Yeah, you got left out of an interview.
Yeah. Not a big deal.
He's upset. Yeah.
Well, really? I was already on the way. I'd gone through the trouble of coming up with questions.
Oh.
Like, I left earlier than I would have normally, so I was kind of...
Is that why you dressed up?
No, unrelated.
Put your lemon pepper steppers on?
4-day jeans, no.
You're just doing it out of spite.
No, I did it for the interview.
That's a spite jean wear.
I was like, I'm not going to show up with a WWE superstar in gym shorts.
Yeah.
Looking like a bum.
I think it's a spite thing. Yeah, Joe talked to, what's his name, Action Jackson?
Trick Williams.
Trick Williams.
He knew the answer to that.
Poser. I was going to ask him if I could talk trash to him, if I was going to be here.
He's a big dude, man.
I was going to ask if we could talk. Yeah, but he's a wrestler.
Yeah, he played South Carolina.
He's probably up for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he would have been.
So, yeah. Full disclosure, Joe interviewed Trick today. We'll play that probably tomorrow. Maybe Friday, we'll see. Friday's a holiday show. Brian was supposed to be here, but they, like, moved it up on him. So, like, no Brian. And I wasn't allowed to do it because he caught wind of how I talk about Booker T. And he's like, I'm not going to have Branham. I was like, well, that's okay, whatever, jabroni. But, yeah. So he found out that I talked trash about Booker T, and I wasn't allowed on the interview. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just like, can't be around this guy.
Word gets around, you know?
We actually have an exact quote from Trick.
The show is so much better when that's you're not Trick being a turd.
That guy sounds like that guy that sounds like he's from Crosby.
Well, like Garrett?
Y'all sound louder than me in my own ear. That doesn't make any sense to me. But anyways, lots to get to. Lots of catching up to do.
Yeah.
We haven't chatted since the deadline. We haven't chatted since Jadeveon Clowney.
I know. I did miss a lot.
Yeah. What do you think of the deadline?
Boring for the Astros.
Boring for sure.
Less than satisfactory.
Yeah.
Should have got a starting pitcher.
I think they tried.
I think they tried too. Yeah.
I mean, Hayden Wesneski is pretty much like acquiring.
Oh, yeah. So is Bennett Souza, you know.
It's like acquiring.
Yeah. That's what the fans love to hear from the GM.
Yeah.
It kind of is what I wanted in a way. Where I didn't want them to unload the farm system.
Yeah,
but
I do like that part.
I still would have liked a starting pitcher of Varsho quality, maybe. Like a back-end guy. So you have a lot of question marks now in your rotation. I don't care if they traded Spencer Arrighetti.
No.
It's fine with me. So it's like it was okay.
Yeah, I just feel like they kind of lost out on value of him. Like, I feel like his value at many times of his career was higher than Varsho. I'm not brokenhearted they lost Arrighetti. Like, I have, you know, I don't think Arrighetti's great. I think he's a bottom of the rotation starter, maybe with middle of the rotation upside. But I just feel like they lost value with him as time went by, you know?
No, I agree. Like it's even 2 off seasons ago, this last off season, just at the moment trading him now. I get why Toronto wanted him too, but it was just kind of a dud at the deadline for the Astros.
Yeah, I wonder if Dana gets too caught up, like, in searching for one guy. Because, like, there was a lot of rumors they were in on Kyle Stowers. And
yeah.
I wonder if he just gets so caught up on one guy that's like, okay, this is my goal, this is my goal, this is my goal. There were even reports early in the morning that the Astros are going to get a left fielder.
Yes.
So, like, I wonder if they just get so caught up in that and then they let all the other minor moves kind of, you
know, pass right on by. So, like last year, he was focused on Cease.
Yeah.
And then it never happened, so it just kind of...
I mean, they did get Correa and Sanchez.
Yeah.
Which Sanchez would look good in an Astros uniform today.
So would Miles Straw. He's having an incredible series so far.
George Springer would look okay in an Astros uniform.
Yeah, I should have got two of the Blue Jays outfielders.
Yeah,
that's just what they should have done.
Yeah, you can throw in whichever right-handed outfielder you want. We don't really care.
We'll take one of
just
them.
Just one of them.
Yeah.
That way Zinso doesn't have to be on our team. We'll get to the football stuff later. Astros played yesterday. They play at some point today. Y'all don't let me do 6:05 anymore. So they'll play at some point today. And we'll talk about today's game at some point today. But yesterday was nice. Was Nesky look good? Now, this should be like, you know, a little, you know, this should be said with some caution. Blue Jays do have the worst offense in the American League. But was Nesky and Souza looked really good yesterday? You know, you got some production on the mound, good enough to win, good to level the series. And then obviously a lot's going to be determined on today's game, whether or not they win the series. But good to see Wesneski do that. I heard TK even mention that perhaps Wesneski, if you're in a playoff series, is your number three. Which he looked good yesterday.
I mean, at this point, I think it'd be the favorite. Honestly, after only two starts, Blanco, Imai. No, it definitely would be Wesneski. Would be the third guy in a rotation. It's Brown, Lambert, Wesneski is what you'd be doing right now. He's good so far. Like not blowing you away with what he's doing, but just going out there and being solid. And that is such an upgrade for the Astros compared to what you've had at times in your rotation. So yeah, it is. Bad offense for sure, but we'll see how it goes and how it develops over the season because they clearly liked him when they got him. Mm-hmm. Now, he was a bullpen starter at the time, but I like Wesneski. I wouldn't say I love Wesneski, but good so far.
Yeah, he's solid. He's a solid ball player, solid pitcher for the Astros. He does better on the mound than the Astros do with nobody out, runners in scoring position, trying to score a run, that's for sure. Jose Altuve's heating up. Jose Altuve had a big night yesterday. Perhaps he'll homer today. We'll see. But that's starting to maybe he's starting to find a little bit of form, the old man.
It definitely feels the vibe has shifted around him. That like there is it's just a better stretch of baseball. And maybe this is what we should expect from Altuve, is there's going to be a lot of bad, but then there's going to be moments where like, okay, there's Jose Altuve, and that's what we're witnessing right now. But he was good last night again, obviously, and yeah, we'll see how he does today. But
he sparked it yesterday with his speed, too. Did you see he beat out that infield single and then scored?
Speed.
He can actually get it up there.
You think? It just doesn't feel like it.
I mean, there's measurements of this.
I know, but when you watch, even though, yes, the measurements are there, it still doesn't feel like it. It feels like he's still running molasses a little bit.
Also beat out the throw from Jesus Sanchez. Like, he was showing the wheels yesterday.
Yeah. Jesus Sanchez, not a great throw of the baseball.
He made the play on the Altuve close, but the next one was...
Jesus Sanchez, not a good fielder, not a good base runner, not a good thrower. Occasionally can hit righties pretty good, though.
Yeah, especially good ones, too.
Occasionally he'll hit righties. Probably a better hitter than Lo Profito is, but that's neither here nor there, you know. No, but Altuve speed, legged out the infield single, scores on that Sanchez throw, which the first one was good. The second one's the one that he threw like Uncle Rico, that he airmailed the catcher. But he still gets it up there pretty close to 30 feet per second, which is pretty elite.
That's probably got to be towards the top, I'd imagine.
Yeah, he doesn't do it all the time.
Yeah.
He's very selective on when he, you know, puts it in an extra gear.
No, but he's hitting well enough. Well, like now if Joe wants to keep tinkering with the lineup a little bit, it was nice to see the same lineup in back-to-back days for...
You care about that?
It's more, I just think it's interesting, actually, that's the first time all season. Like I think it's an interesting. I don't think it like really matters, honestly. But it's just interesting that it played out that way.
Yeah, I've been on a thing lately where I don't like that Dalton Varsho is hitting cleanup.
I've been seeing that.
It's almost like, hey, we're going to force this deadline deal down your throat. Not only did we find our everyday center fielder, but we also found our everyday cleanup hitter. Yeah. It's like, bro, he's hitting under 100 OPS plus. Taylor Trammell's way better than him. He's sad that he left Toronto. You know, it's hard, right? You get traded. He's not in good form. We're just going to stick him right there in the cleanup spot to show off our shiny new toy, kind of like they did with Cam Smith when they brought him up after a hot spring training.
Exactly.
It's just like, do you think we're dumb? Like, no. How are you hitting Varsho in the four hole? Like, I get he's a veteran that has shown stuff in the past, and I get that they want to do the righty-lefty thing. But, like, hey, this guy's not in good form. He's going to want to play well for his new team. Let's put him in the highest leverage situations as possible. And even if you're doing the righty-lefty thing, well, it can't be Walker because he's not left-handed. And they're doing righty-lefty. Why not Trammell?
I'd be fine with Trammell.
It drives me nuts.
He's got the pop.
That's 100% what it is. It's 100%, hey, guys, here's our new player that we just love so much, even though he's got like an 87 OPS plus. We're just going to stick him in the cleanup spot.
Yeah, it's
because he's a veteran.
Look what we did at the deadline.
Because Bagwell likes him.
We got, We got a cleanup hitter.
And I like Varsho.
I do, too. I thought it was a good trade.
It sounds like I don't like Varsho the way I'm speaking about him. He just shouldn't be hitting cleanup.
No, but there's a difference between liking a player and then seeing them move into the fourth spot immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really belong there. Where would you want to hit him?
Just trade spots with Trammell. Bat him sixth. Today they're batting 4-5 because they're going lefty-lefty because Esoc didn't play today.
Yeah.
But just trade their spots. Hit him sixth.
Trammell's still batting fourth would be. I get why they want to do it,
Trammell's been really good against right-handed pitching.
No, I know. But
he's been really good against right-handed pitching, Taylor Trammell.
Seeing Varsho bat fourth was – I was shocked when I saw that first lineup card. Then to see it again, I was like, okay. Yeah. Like, they really – they're trying to sell us hard on what they did at the deadline.
I think it's their little agenda. Like, hey, yeah. Because that's what they're going to tell you. Well, he's our everyday center fielder and he's our cleanup man. Okay. He shouldn't be. He should be an everyday center fielder. He shouldn't be your cleanup man. Taylor Trammell homered yesterday. For real this time. He homered this time. Did you see the other day?
Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it the other day, ways.
Yeah. He had a fly ball caught at the track by Miles Straw, and he went into his home run trot.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't realize it until after he touched home plate, and he arrived near the on-deck circle where he's like, hey, bro.
Oh, see, I thought
that ball was caught.
I thought maybe it looked like he kind of figured out.
No. Which they tried to sell on yesterday's broadcast. You catch that?
Mm-hmm.
TK and Blummer were saying, oh, yeah, Taylor Trammell said he saw it. He knew it happened, but he was stunned. So he just decided to keep going through his routines. Like, nah.
Is he really loud to you?
Am I really loud?
I'm looking at the.
You don't think so?
No, I think it sounds okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Maybe it's just me.
But
maybe my ears are sensitive to BMAC.
Well, that's probably definitely true. But, yeah, they were trying to sell that they talked to Trammell after the game. He was like, yeah, I was just really stunned, so I didn't know what to do, so I just decided to keep going. He's like, I saw you get to home plate and
celebrate. He did his thank to heavens after he crossed the plate.
I don't buy this talking point at all.
Yeah, no. 100%.
He thought he got it.
Well, someone's got to tell him.
They did. Maybe who do you? I mean, maybe Perestica.
That's what I'm
tell
saying.
Him?
Like another reason to fire. Well,
do
this
we trust
guy.
Perestica? Yeah, we don't trust him.
That guy.
Send him to Sugarland.
That's sinned.
He should be demoted from third base.
Yes,
I'm dead serious.
No, I 100% agree.
Omar
with you.
Lopez, go coach third again.
He should not be out there.
He's
today.
Brutal.
No, that was the one of the worst sins I've ever seen. He should be fired.
I don't want to fire him completely.
If he
can teach an infield, he can be in the dugout. But I don't think he should be the third base coach anymore.
No, bring someone up from Sugarland, have Omar Lopez do it, someone else should be.
He's
there.
Always been bad. This isn't like just a one-off.
No, but that was one of the worst I've ever seen.
The ball was at the cutoff man, Andres Jimenez, when Varsho was still rounding third.
Yeah.
That was the worst send of all time. And, you're being hyperbolic, Branham. Find me a worse send than that.
Like, Sean and I were having a conversation before our show starts. Like, is there anyone in baseball who could have made a home, much less Varsho?
No, Usain Bolt couldn't have made it home.
Like, Ellie De La Cruz, Corbin Carroll. No. Like, I don't even think those guys make it home.
Peak Carl Lewis doesn't make it home.
Yeah, that was insane.
Ricky Henderson doesn't make it home.
Yeah, it was atrocious.
That was the worst. I legitimately think it's the worst end in baseball history. Like, I sincerely think that.
It's probably pretty close, man.
Like, Jose Altuve has crazy ones, but that's him doing it on his own.
Yeah, that's Altuve.
He's like, not being sent.
No, the third base, Perestica, is waving him home.
Yes.
And it is a awful, awful decision.
And you know what annoys me about Perestica, which, we used to have Gary Pettis, they called him the windmill, so he had some egregious sins. I don't think any were as egregious as yesterday, but he was pretty consistent that he was aggressive, Like, every now and then he'd have, like, a conservative hold, but for the most part, he was consistently aggressive. Perestica, you never know what you're going to get. There's times when Perestica is, like, so conservative, it's like, what are you doing, man? The ball's being picked up at the wall, the guy's at third base, and you're stopping him.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, Andres Jimenez, the cutoff man, in a shallow left field because the wall's short in left field, so cutoff man doesn't have to go out there that far. He's waving him. And it like, well, maybe he still thought Jesus Sanchez was out there. That's even worse. If you don't know who the outfielders are, like that is worthy of you being demoted from the third base coaching spot. That was the worst end I've ever seen in my life. I'm wondering, because he and Christian Walker love each other. Like, Christian Walker had the shirt with Perestica, remember the shirt last year? Like, Perestica, great models and hands, blah, 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 blah. And he knows that Walker's kind of, like, been struggling. I wonder if somewhere in his mind he's like, I want to get him an RBI because I think it's going to help his confidence.
I could see it, but that's not how you should do your job.
It's best case scenario.
Because at this point, what I see in the future is a really close playoff game in a three-game series and a terrible send that cost the Astros.
Brutal.
That's what it feels like where we're headed right now. He shouldn't be out there at all. And we've seen multiple third base coaches already get fired this season. There's no reason not to do it. I mean, Gary Pettis got called off the streets by Dusty Baker to go be the third base coach in San Francisco because their guy was so bad.
They should have traded for Gary Pettis.
That would have been awesome.
That's what they should have done. Brought him back home. A lot of people are like, bring Springer home. No, bring Gary Pettis home. That'll help more.
They got to
go. That was brutal.
He's got to go.
That was the worst end I've ever seen in my life. He's got to go. So bad. Junkie, what are the odds that Altuve is the next 300 home run, 300 stolen base guy? Let's see. How many? He's got 267 home runs. I think they're pretty good because that he needs 33 more home runs.
He's going to get that.
He has 13 home runs on the year, so he needs to have, like, you know, 2.5 more seats. Yeah, he'll get there. I think he'll get there. I think the odds of that are very good. I think he'll get to 300 home runs.
Is he already at 300 stolen bases?
Yeah, he's got 327.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then yeah, he'll be. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll get there pretty easily.
I don't know who would get it first, but he's definitely going
to
get it.
Yeah, I think. Oh, yeah, the next 300.
Yeah, you're asking us to look at all of baseball. You got to pay us for that.
Right. Those are billable hours. I think that Jose Altuve will be a 300 homer, 300 stolen base guy. I mean, he's already done the stolen bases. He needs 32 more home runs. Yeah, he'll get that. He might get that by 2028.
Yeah, if there's baseball next year, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that could hurt him.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve's kind of been screwed by that. COVID year, maybe no baseball next year. It's kind of screwed him a little bit.
Yeah, definitely his chase for 3,000 hits is going to be.
Yeah, the COVID year and then perhaps a work stoppage next year has really hurts his chances of getting to 3,000.
It does.
Poor guy. Nothing goes right for him.
Nothing going right.
Nothing ever goes right for Jose Altuve.
Just get the juice baseballs back.
That'd be good. The Goldilocks.
Vlad Guerrero could use them.
Especially at home. My buddy Guy. Told me the other day, I didn't realize this, Vladimir Guerrero has not hit a home run at home this year.
What?
Dead serious.
We were talking about his home run numbers before. He has, six on the year?
Altuve has him doubled.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has not homered at home.
Cam Smith has him doubled.
So something weird was happening last year,
I think,
right?
He got fat and hat. Well, yeah, I think that. Yeah.
Because, like, look at Vlad and then Cal Raleigh.
The Blue Jays have the worst offense in the American League this year. Remember last year, everybody's like, oh, the hitting coaches are so great. They were cheating their off.
Yeah. It feels like something was happening last year.
They were cheating.
And MLB caught wind of it and stopped it. With how bad the Blue Jays, and specific Cal Raleigh, have been. These, like, giant
they were doing something.
Changes.
Something was happening.
Yeah, some fishy was going
on. Cal Raleigh was doing something fishy. The Blue Jays were doing... They went from being, oh my goodness, these hitting coaches are the greatest ever, to having the worst offense in baseball, and Vladimir Guerrero can't hit a homer at home.
At home. On the entire season.
That's so fishy. It is. Nothing gets by us.
So, right. Will we take the over under a half a home run at home this year?
It's crazy, man.
I think I'd take the over. I think he'll get one.
I think he'll
get one.
He'll run into one.
Maybe like the last game of the season.
He'll run into one, I promise you. All right, we'll talk Astros a little bit later whenever, you know, things happen. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, number to call, number to text. We're on YouTube, ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok, ESPN 975. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv. I was trying to throw him off.
In his underwear,
I was trying to get him in the hard
his mother's basement.
I was trying. Sometimes I'll get him on the hard
count. I was watching your eyes.
I know.
I had you.
You caught me. But twitch.tv/ESPN975. Cougblaze wants a Houston Cougar football report. They look good. They look really good out there, Cougblaze. Like what I see. 713-780-ESPN. Twitter as well. Twitter. ESPN975 is our Twitter handle. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack, but BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Brandon. When we come back, there's these quarterback tiers that are out there. And they've talked about, you know, all the quarterbacks in the NFL, things like that. It hits on, is this you, Joe? It hits on Joe's biggest concern with C.J. Stroud. What is Joe's biggest concern on C.J. Stroud? Is it fixable? 713-780-ESPN. Plenty to get to today. We'll have some giveaways today, too, which that's always fun. Giveaways are great. People like it.
It's always fun to win.
It's always fun to win. Joe thought that he was getting out of Jose Jorge first Tuesday of every month. Uh-uh.
Nope.
I didn't forget.
Ergo, el momento de perder.
We will be making history today. This will be the first ever Jose Jorge on a White Boy Wednesday.
Oh.
So that's kind of cool. That I you know, something about that just makes me smile, brings a smile to my face. That and much, much more. You never know what's going to happen with us. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
What it is? All nice and decent, slip of the curl. This is Mr. Cat and Sugar Ray riding through.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, last real good guy on the Huntington Bank Bad Boy. Kugla says A-plus reporting, Jay Bones. What are you here for? You know, we do the things. 75 says send BMAC to Lubbock.
That's mean. Been there. Don't want to go back.
Flex, I've been to Lubbock.
Have you been to Lubbock?
Many times.
Yeah, I know.
I have not yet.
You're not missing anything.
Yeah, yeah. It used to be a dry county. Now it's not. I mean, there's some fun things to do in Lubbock. I enjoy my time in Lubbock. I like Lubbock. Lubbock's fine. Like, it's not Houston. It's just different. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to live there. But Lubbock's fine place to spend a couple of days. You can find things to do.
Yeah, for a couple of days. Yeah, but like you said, you can't live
They got a Benihana.
I want to go up to it for a game.
Their game day is nice.
Yeah, I want to do, like, at some point, if I ever have money, I want to do, like, a whole college football season.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Hit Austin, College Station, Lubbock, go to Waco.
Yeah.
Houston.
You know, remember that Freddie? Remember, they held a Super Bowl Houston. There. They have a new stadium. Or they actually have a new press box. I don't think it's a full.
Well, they were playing at Shell Energy last year, right?
They were. Yeah. Which, terrible idea.
There's like 20.
Really bad idea.
Yeah.
Go play at Wood Forest Stadium in the Woodlands. Like, that was such a bad idea. Like, we're going to go an hour and a half to play a football game. That was bad. Bad decision, Sam Houston. Love you, Sam, but that was a bad idea. Freddie LA7 is going to do that with college football this year. Did you see him tweet about that?
I did not see that.
Freddie LA7, the social media dude who went nuts during the World Cup because he came to America.
So he's coming back to America?
He's coming back to America and doing a college football tour.
That is a cool idea.
What does this guy do for a living?
He's got to have a rich dad or something.
Yeah, he's got to be just like made
unless,
money.
I mean, unless because it went so well that now he's got major ad deals.
But he like didn't do this. I mean, it seems like he didn't really do a bunch of influencer deals.
No, but maybe now he is.
Maybe.
I saw some guy popped across my LinkedIn feed.
Freddie LA7?
No. said he was doing all 30 NFL stadiums in one season.
How could you even do that?
He's going to like every basically Thursday, Sunday, Monday.
That's pretty awesome.
And he had it scheduled out, and I was like, so he's going to like three games a week. I was like, that is a sick idea.
So is he
going
to like come home at all?
I don't think so. I think he's just going to be on the road constantly.
This guy can't be married.
No, can't,
there's no chance.
Can't be married.
No, can't be married.
Can't have kids.
No.
If he does, he's at least an empty nester.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to do that. That's a lot of travel.
Not in one season.
That's 4.5 months of travel.
It was only like 2 or 3 years ago, because I think we had him on at the other place. This guy did 30 stadiums in 30 days. For Major League Baseball.
That's better than 4.5 months of travel.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. At least it's only a month of your doing it.
Yeah.
But it would be cool to go.
I wouldn't want the downtime in between.
No.
I don't know. I don't think I would like that.
Because it's like, what are you going to do between, you know, Monday and Thursday? You're going to go home or you're just going to go to the new city?
You're probably going to travel to the new city.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you stay home Monday night. You know, you stay in the hotel Monday night after the game.
Mm-hmm.
You travel out on a Tuesday. You know, from the city that you're at,
mm-hmm.
that way you're there, stay in the hotel Tuesday night, Wednesday night, go to Thursday night football. You're probably staying in the hotel Thursday night.
And then drive.
Traveling Friday. I guess you're not flying everywhere. You could certainly drive.
Honestly, I think I'd rather drive because at least it would take more time.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of depends on
where
you're going.
Yeah, when you're hitting the eastern ones, you could probably just drive there.
Yeah, it depends on where you're going.
Yeah.
Like if you're out east, then you can, I mean, and you're going to San Francisco. You're going to have to fly to that one.
Yeah, well, you kind
of... But most of it, you could drive about.
Yeah, if you can find a way to maneuver it, you probably can kind of do, like, work from east to west.
Well, the west ones are so... They're so few, and they're so far.
Yeah.
Like, the eastern teams in the NFL, that'd be easy to drive to.
Because I think he's starting just week one. So maybe he's starting the West Coast. Because I think he started in Seattle.
I wonder where he lives.
Great question.
That's, I mean, I don't know if I would like to do that. I would have to be either very young, right? Like fresh out of college or like college age. Mm-hmm. Or I'd have to be an empty nester and probably like a widowed husband.
I think I'd want, see, I think I'd like.
There's no way that my wife could be alive and let me do that.
Well, unless like the kid or kids go with you. And it's like a dad, father-son trip.
He's school?
Well, yeah, for football.
Work?
The mom's not going to see her kid for 4.5 months?
Like, what do they do for work?
That's true. I guess you have to do, like, only baseball season you could do father-son.
That would be tough.
This is like a lottery thing. I win the lottery, and now I'm just...
And I also think it has to be age-appropriate. Yeah. Either you're young and don't have a career yet, or you're retired and your career is over.
Well, I think it's Snapback Sports is the company. Mm. So I think this is, like, their thing that they're doing. Which is a great marketing idea.
So, okay. So, we're probably trying to make this guy Freddie LA7.
Yes, probably.
That's tough. Junkie Cal McNair. Cal McNair texting into the show. I myself really respect self-made men, actually. I get it, because Cal McNair is not really self-made.
Oh, did I miss anything from Cal?
They didn't post it.
Oh.
They didn't post the press conference, which is incredibly lame.
That's a bummer.
They did post like the 30 seconds where they went out to the practice field and like welcomed the fans. And there's a couple of drops from that we'll get to eventually, but they're not like amazing. Yeah, I couldn't believe they didn't post the press conference. Some people posted their clips, but they're not, you know, good enough audio quality. The one question that Will said he was going to ask about the grass, he was actually really well prepared to answer that and answered it pretty well.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he might have like been cute, like
maybe PR was listening on Friday.
Well, maybe not even to us, but like because Will's been asking this to he asked it to D'Amico, he asked it to the players. So I bet you Omar, the Texans comm staff, was probably like, "Hey, Cal, you're probably going to get a question about going to a grass field," and he was ready to go. He's like, "You might remember that we used to have grass here. We'd roll them in on pallets, and it didn't go well.
Hey,
so
just
we
ask
have to go turf." Yeah, he was actually really prepared for it. Yeah, I was pretty impressed.
Who was that punter that sued the Texans? Also tore up his knee? I forget.
I don't remember. I know. Was it Wes Welker that did it? I know D'Amico did.
Yeah, Wes Welker tore his ACL in week 17.
I want to say Wes Welker did. Was there a punter? Was he a Texan?
Yeah, it was a Texan.
Brett Hartman.
There you go.
I would not have ever remembered Hartman. That guy's name.
Yeah. He filed a lawsuit against the county agency that operates Reliant because of unsafe turf.
See, that's the thing is they weren't actually even suing the Texans. They were suing the Harris Sports County. Authority. Yeah. So remember when like D'Amico came back or like whenever he was rumored to come back or he was a free agent, the Texans warning a coach. Everybody's like, well, he sued the Texans. Not really. Kind of indirectly.
Yeah.
He sued the Harris County Sports Authority.
And I think there also was a undisclosed agreement that they came to.
They came to a settlement?
Yeah. That was the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Joe.
You guys missed me?
You made it difficult.
Oh, you should have heard Garrett doing math on the show yesterday. It would have broken your brain.
Oh, my goodness.
Like,
Garrett was doing math Garrett, like a
because we were talking
believer.
About the CJ Stroud contract.
Math? Yeah.
Yeah, his math. I mean, I think.
We think.
I wasn't cross-checking it. He just got into the CJ Stroud, like, contract. And he's like, you know, cap percentage, APR. If you take the first year, you divide it by two, and then you multiply by four, and then you pretty much get half of the contracts of every NFL quarterback 88% of the time. Is that like Steiner math?
It did. It's like, well, I could tell Joe's not here. There's no way he would go into this.
I started counting on my fingers.
Like, at some point, I think they had a 133.3% chance of winning.
Yeah. There was a 133.3% chance CJ Stroud's getting extended before week one. That's what it was. Speaking of CJ Stroud, I told you we're ADHD on the show. Never know what you're going to get. We'll hit CJ Stroud. The biggest concern that Joe has of CJ, that left a pretty good little dent right there.
Oh, so
right
you dropped your water bottle.
I dropped it. I put it in my backpack, but it wasn't in my backpack. And it went dropped straight. Gravity. Mm. I did a number on this sucker. Gravity and concrete, you know, really got in the way. All right, Joe's biggest concern was CJ. Is it fixable? Is it something that can be fixed? 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Used vehicle leasing. Most people don't realize you can lease used vehicles. At D&M Leasing, they offer the ultimate used car leasing program, the Easy Lease. You can drive high-quality pre-owned vehicles with a much lower monthly payment than traditional financing with a used car Easy Lease at D&M. Everyone knows new vehicles take a huge depreciation hit right as they leave the lot. So let someone else take that initial hit, and you save big. Enjoy flexibility, lower costs, and upgrade into something newer every few years. Your dedicated D&M agent handles all the details, paperwork, and even home delivery. Discover a better way to drive used car leasing at D&M Leasing. Call D&M Leasing today at 713-290-1000. Visit dmautoleasing.com and tell them that Joe George sent you by.
Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Is this a video game song? A pro wrestling song? What is this?
This is the Goo Goo Dolls.
Really?
Yeah. That's recognize the voice?
No.
Oh.
No?
It's actually one of their harder songs, which is why I picked it.
It's not sound like Goo Goo Dolls at all to me. Off to a rip-roaring start. So, the Athletic had their quarterbacks ranked into tiers today, which I should manage the Astros. Anyways, they have C.J. Stroud in tier 3, which we're not going to go through all the tiers. We've beaten that dead horse. But where are you at with you saw something here that piqued your interest. It hit on your biggest concern that you have on C.J. Stroud. I'm very curious. You've hooked me. What is your biggest concern for C.J. Stroud?
So what I like about the Athletic quarterback tiers is that Mike Sando does a great job and who he uses. And he gets all these anonymous sources, scouts, coaches, people that are involved in the NFL. And then he actually quotes them in the article.
Yeah, real ball knowers.
And like so... there's something that we've discussed that is highlighted in here that if it's that obvious to everyone else and they're putting in the story, it makes me nervous, which is that he plays hurried, and sometimes because he thinks he's going to get rushed, then it looks bleep, I think, when he's not rushed, but he thinks he is, and then people are like, what is this kid doing making bad decision when he's not under duress? That's my concern, is he seeing ghost. And now, and it's this is a clear, a some offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator in the NFL, he's out.
Yeah, he's
is clearly seeing that too, of just like he's seeing ghosts, he's panicking in the pocket, and that's my biggest concern with CJ this year, because I don't think it's, of all the other stuff, the playing slow, handling the pre-snap stuff, that feels like that can be elevated in year two with this system. If he's scared of what's happening around him, even if the offensive line is slightly improved, that doesn't get fixed.
Yeah, it's kind of the... it's pretty much my biggest concern too.
Yeah.
Is the it's the processing. It's like, you know, the seeing ghost, like that's kind of all on, like I guess correlated with this. The decision making is critical to me. I think if you go back and watch the New England game, and I get like you don't have your top receiver, not great conditions, good defense. You did the same thing with Pittsburgh the week before. Like, the decision-making has to be good. And that's why I loved what D'Amico Ryans had to say the other day, kind of indirectly talking about how you need good decision-making from the quarterback. So I think it's all kind of under that umbrella. Like, okay, you're seeing ghosts, you're not decision-making, you're not processing. I think it's really all correlated. Mm-hmm. So D'Amico saying that this is something that he's been, you know, drilling his quarterbacks about tells you that it's something that, I don't want to say concerned, but they're aware of, right? We've played the what's Cosell's first name? The guy that I like to listen to, Greg Cosell, who loves like love him. He's awesome. He talked about how he looks like he's not processing very well. Just go watch the playoffs. Decision making was poor. So I think it all is under the same umbrella. And I agree with you. That's my biggest concern about C.J. Stroud as well.
Because I do feel like they're separate a little bit in a way where like you could be a slow processor.
Mm-hmm.
But not be scared in the pocket. And then it feels like when you're scared and you're feeling the pressure that's not there, it's going to make your already questionable decision making five times worse.
But I think whenever you're a slow processor, you become more scared. Because if you're a fast processor, I think you kind of believe in yourself.
You would know, like, okay.
It's like, boom, 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 boom.
We're good to go.
And I guess best case scenario, it's like, well, you know, year one of the offense going into year two, that maybe that'll clean up a little bit there. I think it's possible he can fix it. It's just very, very hard, I think, once you go backwards to like, get it back and then move forward. A lot of people would tell you that are hopeful of C.J. Stroud that year two of the system is going to fix that. And I think it's plausible. I think it is in play. I think it's very difficult. I don't want to go as far to say it's like putting the toothpaste back in the tube, but I think it's harder to do than people, the people that are hopeful want it to be.
I think it's more likely it would happen elsewhere than here. Similar to Darnold and Baker and some of these guys, you know, who have had success in totally new systems, totally new environments.
Well, that would be more scheme than it would be like doesn't trust the offensive line.
You don't think the environment change helps with that a little bit? Of just like Sam Darnold being like, hey, I'm not in New York or in Carolina anymore.
That's why I think it's all correlated. Because if you're in a system that's a good scheme fit, you get that little bit of confidence, and all of a sudden you just trust everything. Mm-hmm. Everything's clicking. Everything's in a groove. Everything's in a rhythm. And then once it's off, because that's what C.J. Stroud was in year one. Like everything was in a groove. Everything was in a rhythm, blah, 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 blah. And then you get off cylinder a little bit, and it's hard to get back on. Stroud's got to find his groove again. Some of these quotes are really good, I thought. And you mentioned, like, these are coaches, these are executives in the NFL. One said, prior to last year, I would have thought he's going to be on the fringe of being in that upper echelon right now. This was from a defensive coordinator. I want to say he's a three-tier based on the last couple of years, but he's a two, if I'm being fair.
So some benefit of the doubt.
So that was some benefit of the doubt there. Maybe year one of the system. Another one from an executive. He's starting to fall into that category of a quarterback who's hard to protect. He doesn't beat you at the line, get the ball out. He holds the football, and then when he holds the football, he makes mistakes. So I think that's all the correlated things that we're talking about. If you're hopeful, you're hoping year two in this scheme would clean that up, fix it up, or at least be improved. This one from a coach. They've signed some pro offensive linemen this offseason. He plays hurried sometimes because he thinks he's going to get rushed. This is the one you were talking about. Then it looks bad word. He's not rushed, but he thinks he is. And then people are like, what is this kid doing making bad decisions when he's not under duress? So that's the seeing the ghosts. Mm-hmm. That's not trusting his offensive line. That's being conditioned into thinking you're going to be hit every single time you drop back. This one from another coach, Slowick, got fired because their offensive line sucked, not because the quarterback really played poorly. The old system is a little friendlier to quarterbacks who are not as fast processing. Last year, it looked like CJ might be one of those guys. Hopefully, it was just first year in the system, but I do wonder, do you have to make it easier for this kid so he can play fast? I think that's totally fair. It's why I think he's better suited for a West Coast offense than an Urhart Perkins offense. Maybe Kaylee will be able to blend them a little bit more this year. They've talked about how they're going to put more stuff in the system that benefits C.J. Stroud. So, you know, maybe.
Do you think Mike McDaniel said this? Because it's very defensive of Slowick. When I read it, I was like, oh, that's Bobby's friend, whoever said that one.
I think it's fair.
Yeah, that the offensive line was the reason.
Yeah.
But I think it was. Also, CJ didn't excel. Yes, the offensive line was bad.
Well, I think that they're blaming Slowick for not having, you know, good offensive line play.
Football is football.
It's not his fault, though.
I mean, it is. But if you have a terrible offensive line and you're calling plays, you're going to call plays where the quarterback gets rid of the football quicker.
True.
You're not going to sit there and call a bunch of explosive plays. And we know that Slowick loved the explosive play.
Yeah, he couldn't get rid of it.
So I think what you play call does matter whenever you have a bad offensive line. Like, if I had a bad offensive line, I'm not going to sit there and call over half of my passing plays that take a long time to develop.
Yeah.
I'm going to call a lot of quick game. I'm going to call a lot of quick stuff.
Which is hopefully what we'll see a lot more of this year. I hope like and that he can process it quickly.
I don't think this is a great offense for C.J. Stroud. I said it last year.
No,
I think I was proven right. I guess if you're hopeful is that Nick Kaylee puts a lot of stuff in the playbook that C.J. Stroud is good at, where it becomes a little bit more West Coasty than Urhart Perkins. But what's also ironic about this is Stroud asked for more on his plate when you can make the case that it's not in the best interest of C.J. Stroud to put more on his plate.
And I wonder how adaptable Nick Kaylee is. Because that's what it felt like to me was the biggest reason Bobby Slowick got fired, was the offense would look good usually in the first half on the first drive, and then the other coach would go into halftime and come out, and Bobby Sloak would have no answer to whatever they answered with. He would have no pivot. Now, can Kaylee pivot around having an offseason, an entire season with Stroud, and an offseason to game plan this thing correctly and realize, no, I don't have a Stafford, a Brady at quarterback. How can I make it work for him? And he needs to, because if he doesn't, he's also going to be out of a job.
Yeah, I agree with you that that's what a coordinator should do.
Just can he?
But I also, like, it also comes back down to the quarterback, though. Like, we excuse a lot of the quarterback play outside of the quarterback. I don't necessarily mean us. I mean, like, us in the city. That a lot of times whenever Stroud has done poor things, mm-hmm. we always point the finger somebody else, somewhere else. And I get that football is like you need all of your parts and, you know, you need your offensive line to block. You need your receivers to get open, all of that. But I got a news flash for you. It's the NFL. Like, there's going to be times when your receivers can't separate. There's going to be times when you have pressure in your face. The best quarterbacks in the world are the ones that limit mistake in adverse situations. And C.J. Stroud did not do that. So I get tired of the, well, it's on Dick Haley. Well, it's on the offensive line. Yes, all of those things matter. But C.J. Stroud, whenever a play blows up, is going to have to be able to do what is in the best interest of the Texans on that specific play. So I get annoyed with the interceptions last year of the Patriots. And I know it sounds like I'm focusing on one game, but it's the game I watched the most recently, where it's like, oh, those aren't Stroud's fault. Okay. But whenever you have a defender hitting you on a first and 10, whenever you have a three-point lead in the best defense in the NFL, is the best decision to just fling the ball up in the air 20 yards in the middle of the field between the hashes?
No.
Like, okay. Like, not. I agree that it's not Stroud's fault that he has a blitzer right in his face the moment he gets the football. But you know where Stroud's fault comes into play? When he makes a stupid decision. And no one's going to blame him for taking a sack. Like, that's a right decision in that moment. So, like, those are the things that annoy me. Is when everybody makes all these excuses for him. Well, you know, he threw an interception 20 yards downfield when he had a three-point lead on a first down and 10 because there was a free rusher right in his face. Was that the best decision? Like, I'm going to nitpick until he makes good decisions. Like, what do y'all want in Houston? Like, what do you think the Texans are capable of doing this year?
Winning a Super Bowl.
People think that they're a Super Bowl contender. I think they're a Super Bowl contender. I'm not doing this little kiddie pass thing with C.J. Stroud. If he makes a stupid decision, I'm going to say he makes a stupid decision. And, well, the offensive line didn't do their job. You're right. That's going to happen in the NFL. The other team's pretty good, too. Do you think if the Texans played Seattle in the Super Bowl that Mike McDonald's going to get some pressure on C.J. Stroud?
Yes.
Of course he is.
Yeah, like Tom Brady's never faced a free rusher.
Like that, like
Patrick Mahomes has never faced a free rusher. Like, yeah, that's life playing quarterback in the NFL. You're going to have to make good decisions when pressure's in your face.
And this is the cycle, right? Like,
I think he can be a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but he's not going to be until he starts doing the things I say.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And that was the most egotistical thing you've ever said.
But like this is the cycle of a young quarterback that the fans are still in. They blame everybody else, and it just takes them a while to finally come around to the quarterback. Of being like, okay, now it's just on Stroud. Where the majority of the fan base still, I think, is very clearly still behind C.J. Stroud.
It hasn't been optimal for C.J. Stroud. It's never optimal for a quarterback. Now, some situations are obviously more optimal than others. If we're ranking 1 to 32 greatest quarterback, you know, situations in the NFL, the Texans would be towards the bottom. But you still got to make the right play. Mm-hmm. You still got to do the right thing, even in adverse situations. And sometimes it is a sack. Sometimes it is a throwaway. And, you know, I'm not the only one saying this. DeMeco Ryan said this last week, and it's so obvious. So, well, he's got a defender in his face. What do you expect him to do? Take the sack is what I expect him to do.
Yes.
Have a little bit of awareness on the game situation. Up by three, you don't sling the ball in the middle of the field. Knowing you have the best defense in the NFL and punting is not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I'd rather punt than to throw an interception. Like
all the time.
It drives me nuts with that sort of thing. Well, you know, they gotta block better. They gotta scheme better. Their receivers need separation. Also, your quarterback needs to be better.
Yeah, it's not all on him, but he's still the quarterback. Like at some point, he just has to be the guy.
It is weird at times when fans are willing to point out the mistakes by every position on the field except for the quarterback.
It's just,
yeah, okay, the offensive line didn't do their job. Maybe the running back missed his protection. Maybe it was a bad play call. The quarterback can still throw it out of bounds or take a sack.
You have to make the right play most of the time. Everybody's not going to make the right play every single time. I get it. But the better quarterbacks are the ones that make the right play a bigger percentage of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, it's... you be smart with the ball. Make good decisions. Know whenever you can be you should be conservative. Know whenever you should gamble. I mean, if you're down by 10 points, 3.5 minutes left to play in the fourth quarter, okay, throw the ball down the middle of the field. Like it's you kind of have to at that point. But whenever you have a 3-point lead in the playoffs on a first down and 10, and you have the best defense in the NFL, that's not a time to get risky with the football. That's the worst time to get risky with the football.
Yeah, and that's why I just, you know, along with the feeling pressure, those big collapses in judgment from CJ of what to do in the moment, I just don't trust him still.
I will trust him whenever I see it. Like, I currently do not.
Can the regular season bring that trust back?
It could help.
So for me, it's not that it's only a postseason thing. Like, if he does it consistently throughout the season, I can buy more in. I still am going to always have this 10-15% at least of not trusting him until he does it in the playoffs and doesn't make those tragic mistakes.
Oh, it's always going to exist in the back of my mind for sure. Yeah, yeah, until it happens in the postseason. But you can see like a quarterback making good decisions versus bad decisions. Mm-hmm. So like if you see him in the regular season, okay, that's a good decision, CJ. Oh, that's a good decision. I like what he did with that decision. That's a good decision. That's a good decision. And he starts stacking those good decisions. Yeah, he'll start earning some of my trust. It doesn't need to all come in the postseason. But like the whole training camp stuff, like, oh, look at that beautiful ball. Yeah, he does throw a beautiful ball. That's 100% true. I agree. A ball placement specialist. What did our caller call him? The Dot King?
Yeah.
I think he called him the Dot King. He is those things. Whenever everything is just right for CJ Stroud, he is elite throwing the football, placing the football where it needs to go. Anticipation, whenever he is clicking, is really, really nice. But what's he going to do whenever a defender is right between his face 3.5 minutes left to play in the fourth quarter with a 3-point lead? I don't know. I don't trust him there.
Yeah, because even at camp right now, like I know people are getting excited about some of the things they've seen, and they've put pads on a little bit, but he's still got the red jersey on. It's still different. It's still a totally different mindset because you know Will Anderson can't hit you, actually.
Yeah.
Like he might get to you, but they're just going to let you keep playing the play out, even if it should have been a dead ball.
I'm hopeful in Stroud because the best case scenario for this team is that he all of a sudden is really good at making decisions and this offense is clicking and they're a top 10 offense. And then you couple that with the defense and we're celebrating a Super Bowl at the end of the year.
That'd be really nice.
Because I think it is in the realm of possibility. But Stroud's going to have to be a good decision maker. Like a lot of people, well, what kind of numbers does CJ Stroud have to put up to win a Super Bowl? Or what is the Texans' offense? Where do they need to rank in points per game in order for them to win a Super Bowl? None of those things matter. They need the quarterback to make good decisions and make optimal winning plays. Mm-hmm. That's what matters. That's why the whole stat stuff is so irrelevant to me. I don't care where they rank in points per game. I care if my quarterback's making winning plays or not. I don't care how many yards CJ Stroud has per game. I care if he's making winning plays or not. That's the stuff I care about. The numbers, I don't. Blake Bortles was top 5 in the NFL 1 year in passing yardage. That means nothing. CJ Stroud, his rookie year, led the NFL in passing yards per game.
It means nothing.
Means nothing.
But Blake Bortles did take his team to an AFC title game.
Take his team. He was along for the ride.
Well, CJ could have been along for the ride if he hadn't
thrown 4 first half interceptions.
Be a disaster. Yeah.
Junkie says Stroud has no dog in him.
I'm a dog.
I don't know if that's an unfair point. I would like to defend Stroud and argue with you because that's kind of what I do. I don't think that's inaccurate.
No, it's just like a little dog. It's like a chihuahua.
Like, I don't see CJ Stroud like popping up and looking at a defender's face and saying, first down, you know?
Yeah,
like,
he's got no Baker Mayfield in him.
Yeah, and look, do you need that as a quarterback? I wouldn't say you need it as a quarterback, but a lot of the better quarterbacks have it. Tom Brady's sitting there arguing with Teapot Bill on the sideline. Peyton Manning's yelling at Jeff Saturday.
Didn't Mahomes he go face-to-face with a Broncos player his rookie year?
That's not the same.
Okay.
Also, that was after he was hit for a loss.
It was. Yeah, that's true.
That was after, you're right. That's the most dog we've seen out of him. Yeah. I think it was Singleton. I think it's the guy that has one testicle now. He pushed him after the play because he had testicular cancer.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You don't remember that story last year?
No, I don't.
He had testicular cancer, and they took a ball out of his human, and he came back like 2 to 3 weeks later. Like, you're in my respect. Like, that's awesome. Like, I actually mean this. I know it sounds silly and goofy right now. I admire the heck out of
that. Yeah, I didn't remember the story. So.
I think it's Alex Singleton.
Okay.
Yeah, Alex Singleton, I think, had testicular cancer, and they took – one of his testicles off to get rid of the cancer, and he was back like 2 to 3 weeks later. Like, unbelievable. That's a dude.
That's a dog.
Yeah, that's a dog. That overshadows the Joey Porter story, gets shot in the butt and coming back to play.
Yeah. So, like, I actually respect it. I know it sounds very silly, but that was the guy, I believe. I think it was Singleton. I think it was, like, after the play, Singleton kind of shoved him, and Stroud got up, like, all macho, like, hey, I'm going to do something, but didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after a hit. It wasn't after, like, I like that Stroud got in his face. I'm not going to sit here and try to, like, you know, say that I didn't like it. But you know what I want to see? I want to see the next play where he makes this unbelievable play and then goes, hey, look what I just did. You know, like that sort of thing. I don't know that the level of dog in C.J. Stroud is that high.
Oh, it's light.
It's a little light, it seems like. Ooh. 713-780-ESPN.
That's
HRMP.
A long ways.
Listener line.
Man, when he gets a hold of on, he sends it a long ways.
The Texans keep trying to force a square peg into a round hole. CJ, the square peg, round hole, Slowick, and Kaylee's offense. I think CJ was way better suited for Slowick's offense than Kaylee's offense. I think that CJ would, I mean, he led the NFL in passing yards per game. I think he is best suited in a spread. Junkie, I think Stroud is a Super Bowl winning quarterback too for another team. Every possession that ends with a kick is a great possession, especially for this team.
With that defense?
There's some defenses that are out there that you wouldn't love that. But with this defense, heck yeah.
Yeah, you can get by.
Heck yeah, every possession that ends with a kick is a winning possession for this team. What are the odds that C.J. Stroud will not be a Texan next year? I think they're pretty low, maybe 25%.
Yeah, I was higher, but the contract stuff last week brought me down to like 30.
Yeah, I think he'll be back. Maybe not on a new contract, but I think he'll be back. If I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm putting tons of pressure on Stroud to see if he makes mistakes. Oh, for sure. I want him to be in difficult decision-making situations. No doubt about that. Stroud is a basset hound kind of dog. Do-do-do. Stroud had that one swag moment with the arm cross shrug pose. We did this little. Was that after the? I think that was the Tampa Bay game. Was that the Tampa Bay game where they had that great comeback?
I can't remember if it was Tampa or the Cardinals game.
Okay. I want to say Tampa, but I'm not that confident.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 713-780.
We all have three different answers.
What was your answer?
I thought it was the Colts game where he hit Nico on the first play.
Oh,
first
playoffs?
Touchdown.
You're right.
Playoffs or week 17?
Week 17.
I think B-Mac's right.
Yeah, now that you say that, I think that might be right.
Can't say it well because you're losing his voice.
Yeah, losing. There you go. Now it's back.
But. You're losing your voice. What'd you happen? Hit puberty? You got a little Alex Singleton going on in
there? Yeah,
little,
maybe so.
Let's switch it up to some NFL before we talk baseball, which is going to be a sad baseball conversation, I think. 713-780-ESPN.
We chase
I have a legitimate concern about an NFL team. It's the Buffalo Bills. Okay. And this is not a Josh Allen take. I have a legitimate concern about the Bills. I think, Joe, I'm even going to go as far to say I am demoting the Buffalo Bills from Super Bowl contendership because of one 25-second soundbite that I heard.
Wow.
125, and this is not a Josh Allen take, which a lot of people are like, Branham hates Allen. It has nothing to do with Josh Allen. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.